Well, as you can see, we're starting a new series today, 7 Big Habits for Explosive Personal Growth. How many want to grow this year? How many want to grow in an explosive way? I like that word, explosive. Everybody say that, explosive. Did everybody go explosive? Let's say, it sounds fun here. Let's just do say explosive and then say bam, all right? Ready? Explosive. Bam! Good. And if you get just a revelation today, go ahead and just say bam during the service. Bam! And explosive personal growth is for our theme and our goal for this year, what the Lord has said to us. Explosive empowerment is not only is our lives going to be impacted, but we're going to impact a lot of people for Jesus Christ in 2011 in a greater way than we've seen before. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. Early church has a lot to say about habits and practices and customs. And I think they had good success, good results. I think some good patterns are set there and things that we can follow after. But let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it says, and they is the believers. Do we have any believers here today? If Jesus is your Lord, and you know you're saved, you know you're born again, you know you're going to heaven, you're a believer. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together. They had all things in common, sold their possessions and goods, and delivered them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. I love that. Praising God and having favor with all the people. Not just favor within the church, but favor outside of the church. They had favor. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And a healthy organization grows. And this was a healthy group here. They were adding to the group. It just wasn't an exclusive club. They were adding daily to the church. Now, the 7 big habits that we're going to talk about are all found in these verses. And before I get into that, what our first habit is for today, what is a habit? What is a habit? Well, the dictionary says a habit is a settled or regular tendency, or I like this word, it's a practice. It's a practice. It is an expected procedure in doing something. It's repeated exercise in or the performance of an activity or skill as to acquire or maintain proficiency in it, meaning you're doing something on a regular basis and you're getting better, your skills are growing, and you're going to achieve proficiency, and then you're going to maintain that. You're not going to lose it. You're going to keep it up. So a habit is something that you repeat over and over until it becomes a part of your life. And it becomes a part of your life in such a way that it becomes hard not to do it. Meaning it's more difficult not to do it than it is to do it. Now, I shared this in first service about Susie. Is it okay to reveal something about Susie? She's just like all out there. She just lets it all hang out. And I love that about her. But I'm going to share this about her. But she has a habit of, well, I'll share one of my habits too. That's a good habit. But she has the habit of taking a shower before she goes to bed every night. Now, we've been married 24 years, and there's only 2 times that I know of that she didn't take a shower, and it has to do with Maddie Sue and Molly Anna when she gave birth. Every other day, I don't know how many days that is, every other day. And I try to play mind games with her. I try to circumvent this habit. I try to do whatever I can to get her to not take a shower before she goes to bed. Isn't that mean? Come rain or snow or hail or sleet or tiredness. You know, you ever been on one of those road trips and you get in and you just, exhausted? And she'll take that shower. It drives me nuts. But she wants to be clean when she goes to bed. And she probably appreciates me, would have probably appreciated if I took a shower before I went to bed. Maybe that needs to be one of my big habits. There's eight big habits for explosive personal growth. All right, my habit is I floss every day. I'm a flosser. And maybe it was the fact that I had 12, 13 cavities growing up because I ate so much candy. Maybe that has something to do with it. But I'm a flosser, and I floss every day, sometimes twice a day, morning and night. Now, I'm not going to show you my teeth because I don't whiten my teeth, so I won't show you my teeth. But don't they just look healthy? But that's a habit. That's a practice. That's something that I do every day, something that she does. And you have habits, right? Now, are all your habits good? How about this Facebook habit? Is it good? Some days better than others. The internet habit. How about the TV habit? And all the other, how about your spending habits? Ouch, we won't go there. But what we want to do is remove and change, get rid of the bad habits, and pick up some new habits. And so there's some big habits here found in Acts chapter 2 that had a lot to do with their growth as a body and as individuals. And we want to go take some time and go through each one of these. And my prayer is that you'll let go of some bad habits and pick up these new habits, because these are things in the Bible, the things that God has for us for growth in our lives and to reach this world for Jesus Christ. And so they're vital, they're important for each one of us. So the first big habit is found in verse 42. It says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. The first big habit is fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. Now, when I say the word fellowship, what do you think of? Eating chicken wings. Or something else. Whatever your thing is. And having a Super Bowl party or some kind of event, we get together and eat. You know, we look for all these opportunities to eat, you know. If we were to provide a buffet at every day, a free buffet at Good News Church, we'd have to build a new building. I mean, people love food. But if you look at the Bible definition of fellowship, I mean, food is part of it, but it may not produce fellowship. Just getting together with people, even going for a meal with someone from the church may not be fellowship. Coming into church and having someone know your name isn't necessarily fellowship. Someone know your name. Or if you're standing in the hallway and talking to someone may not necessarily be fellowship. The Bible defines fellowship as this: sharing. Sharing, unity, close association, partnership. I love that word. Paul talked a lot about partnership. Participation, communion, brotherhood, sisterhood, contributory help, all go into the word fellowship. This is now the Bible definition. It may not be the English dictionary definition, but this Greek word for fellowship, this is what it means. It's sharing a common purpose. It's sharing common beliefs. It's sharing common goals. It's sharing our faith. It's sharing our resources. What are the resources? Talent, time, treasure. It's sharing yourself with others and having others share themselves with you. So true fellowship has to do with sharing of yourself, giving of yourself. And that's, you know, that's the criteria. That's the criteria for Bible fellowship. Turn over to Acts chapter 4. And the early church had fellowship. And they had growth. And Susie mentioned it during School for Life. It says later on in the book of Acts, it says that this early church turned the world upside down. Great impact. How many want to make great impact for Jesus in this world? Great impact. And, you know, so I was thinking about the early church. What made them so ripe for explosive growth? Well, one of the reasons is they were, they started off as a community and primarily from the Jewish community. They had strong connections already, strong relationships. They had already had a lot of persecution, a lot of opposition, and so they were together with, already had goals and purposes in place. And so when Jesus came, he only strengthened that community. He added love, agape love. He added grace, which they desperately needed. He added the whole of including others. See, they were just an exclusive group. And now they began, and there was some turmoil about this, but they began to bring people outside the Jewish community, those outside the covenant, in. But they already had a strong fellowship association already, and Jesus just enhanced that or expanded that. But let's look at Acts 4, verse 32. It says, now the multitudes of those who believed were of one heart. Isn't that amazing? It's difficult to get a couple, you know, a married couple, to be of one heart. They were of one heart, one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. You know, the word community is two words, common unity. That's what a community is, common unity. They had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all, was upon everybody. And nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the proceeds of the things that were sold. I'm a student of history. I love history. I always have since I was a kid. One of my many majors in school was history. And one of my areas of history that I really love is United States history. And studied all different parts, and I have different parts of history that I really enjoy. But one of them that I really enjoy is the founding of this country. I'm all into revolution. I think we need a revolution in the church today, and that's a whole other sermon. But anyway, and these were people that, you know, and they came together to Philadelphia and other places, and they began to talk about the possibilities of this new nation. And what they created was so radical. They created a government that had never been before in the history of the world. And they were people of different backgrounds, education, different parts of the country, and people that came that even before they got together, some that didn't like each other. But they laid aside all those things and they came together for a cause that was bigger than themselves. And I like to say they were friends with a cause. Maybe became friends with a cause. But the cause is what united them. The cause is what brought them together. And they laid aside their differences and learned to get along for the betterment of the country. And see, that's what true fellowship is. True fellowship is we're looking out for each other, caring for each other, working with each other for the greater good, for something bigger than ourselves. Part of accomplishing God's plan. How many know God's working a plan? He's working in the earth today. He's got a strategy and a plan to reach all 6 billion people in the earth. He desires all 6 billion to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. And he's working a plan. And this local body, Good News Church, is to be a part of that plan that he's working right now in the earth. Together, we want to see family and friends and neighbors and co-workers and people in this area impacted with the gospel. Do you want to see that? And it's the whole concept of older, more mature, helping the younger. The Bible talks all about that, mentoring, looking out, caring for the stronger, looking out for the weak. That's all wrapped up in this word, fellowship. Now, there's a great a verse about this found in Hebrews chapter 10. Please turn there. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 24. And as I explain, you know, fellowship today, you're going to see it all over the scriptures. There's really just so many things I can share. I had to pray about what scriptures to use. It's all in Paul's writing. You know, Paul's writing to churches. He's writing to local bodies, trying to help them and help them grow and help them reach their city or their area. But Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, and I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version, but look at the language and look at how he goes about saying these things. It's really almost shocking, his attitude and how he feels about this. It says, Hebrews 10, verse 24, and let us consider and give attention, give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another. I read before in Acts chapter 2, it says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. They were diligent about it. They did it on purpose. Bam! And that's what he's saying here. It's being intentional. We're looking out for each other. We're caring for each other. Studying. How many like to study? How many wish they could go back to high school? And college. How many want to go to college? How many love the classroom? Take those books home and do your homework and write those papers. And don't you just love that, young people? Yeah! Bam! School! Bam! The enthusiasm over here is so contagious. But it says, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, incite. That sounds like a riot to me. Revolution. We're going to incite something. Don't we need to incite something at Good News Church? James, I want you to be one of these mob leaders. Just go ahead and incite something. But talk to me before you do it, though. Or call me. Text me. Send me a message on Facebook. Studying how we may stir up, stimulate, incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities. Doesn't that sound good? Noble activities? We got to be involved in more noble activities. Verse 25, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit Maybe at one time they were in the habit, but now they're not in the habit. It is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. And so, you know, he's saying a habit of fellowship, a habit of assembling, a habit of coming together. It ought to be just like taking a shower every night. It's a no-brainer. It's not, we don't even have to decide. We're going to be there. But see, and I think, though, what's happened in the church today is, again, going back to last week, the focus on ministers, the focus on the anointed ones or just a few special people. I think we've gotten away from the whole power of coming to church because we don't feel like we have any value. And ministers and the enemy, of course, is working. But what does it really matter if I come? I might as well just stay home and watch my favorite preacher on TV. See, but you're missing out on something that God has instituted. Assembling together. He calls it the church. Now, a church is not a building. Church is people. But we're missing out on all the benefits, and I'll mention a few of them. There's a whole slew of benefits. But it has to do with our growth and our impact on this world, us assembling together. One of the reasons we're assembling together is we're empowering people to give life. We're empowering people to be life givers, not just here at Good News Church, but outside of Good News Church. Right. See, we believe here, and we believe this, that church and getting together is not the game. It's not the game. The game is our lives. The game is really what happens outside of here. And when we come together, this is practice. This is where we learn. They will know that we're his disciples by how? The way we treat each other when we assemble, when we get together. That's how it's ridiculous. If you go to a church and there's no love there and no care, where's God? But the enemy is doing all he can to fight fellowship and to fight us coming together. He's into division. He's into strife. He's into offense. He's into any little petty thing he can bring your way to get you off track. How do you know when someone's out of fellowship? I mean, we can say this about a relationship with somebody when you feel like that relationship's not going that strong. I mean, you back away, right? You back away. You don't call. You don't go out to eat. You don't do certain things, right? You're withdrawing yourself. Well, when we're out of fellowship with the group that God has given us, or the group that God has placed us, how do we know we're out of fellowship? You begin to withhold yourself. You begin to withhold yourself, and you begin to withdraw. Now, why do we do that? All kind of reasons. A big reason is fear. You know, fear of rejection, fear of failure. There's hurts that happen. There's offense. You know, sometimes we just don't feel like it. Sometimes we just want to, you know, I want to keep my bat and my ball for myself. I don't want anybody else to have it. Sometimes it's just busyness. How many people here are busy? Just, you know, busy with all the different things. You know, read Mark 4. What does it say? Deceitfulness of riches. Cares of the world. Lust for other things. Enter in. And what does it do? It chokes the word. We just get our priorities out of whack. Now, there's one thing that I'm concerned as a pastor that I'm seeing more and more, and the Bible talks about this in the time that we're living in, is a coldness in people. Even in believers. Where they just don't really care about what God wants. See, if you're a true believer, I mean, your decisions and what you do, you realize the ramifications. not only on you and other people, and you think about things in a different way. If I do this, what's the ramifications? And someone that's a believer and someone that's really in fellowship, you're going to be thinking about, how is this going to impact the city? How is it going to impact my family? See, I've been in situations with other believers where they just said, I'm just going to do what I want to do. I don't really care about anybody else and how it affects you. I'm hurt. I'm going to do what I want to do. And see, I can't do that. Especially as a pastor, I got to be thinking about this city. I got to be thinking about the plan of God. I got to be thinking in a much larger way. And so if that's the case, I've got to act differently. My flesh may want to do something else. Because your natural tendency when you're hurt is you want to run. And I mean, because you don't want to be hurt again. But that's not the answer. Paul is saying for us to assemble ourselves, because there's things that happen that can only happen there. In the big scheme of what God's doing and then what's happening in your lives. And so you got to understand the fight that's going on today in the body of Christ from the enemy towards the church. And there's a fight going on about our marriages. Why is that? Why is there such a fight about marriages? Because when two people come together as one and as a union, they become a powerful force. And so the devil is going to do whatever he can to break up that relationship. Now, I'm one of the first people that signed up for the Art of Marriage, and I'm not bragging, but, and she may say differently, I may be lost in fantasy, but I feel like our marriage is at one of the strongest places it's been in 24 years. I'm one of the first people that signed up to go to the Art of Marriage because we need this. I want to study. I want to learn. I want to be a better husband. I want to sharpen the axe. I want to learn more about us. I mean, it's a priority. It's a value. And so I understand all the reasons why you'd want to withhold. I understand those reasons. But I'm telling you today, it's not a healthy thing. Because if he says he wants us to be in fellowship, then we're going to have to share ourselves. And share all we have. I'm getting way ahead of myself here, but go over to Ephesians chapter 4. Well, I need to get ahead of myself here because we're running out of time. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 16, read this last week. Awesome chapter. It really fits in with this year. But Ephesians 4, verse 16, I'm going to read this from the Amplified. It says, "For because of him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, closely joined and firmly knit together." That sounds like fellowship to me. "By the joints and ligaments with which it is supplied, when each part with power adapted to its needs is working properly in all its functions, grows to full maturity, building itself up in love." And see, when you withhold your part, of course it hurts the body. If you withhold your part, it hurts the body. But according to this, it hurts you. Meaning you're not going to grow properly and healthy like the Lord, be whole like he wants you. There's a part he ordained church, just like when you become born again, being in church goes hand in hand with that. He ordained local bodies. Even if you have a ministry in this city that's outside of, say, Good News Church, he still wants you to be a part of a local body. There's things that happen here that cannot happen anywhere else. And so I guess what we have to do is we've got to begin to value. Why would we want that? What are some of the benefits? I mean, there are so many. There's inspiration. There's encouragement. There's accountability. There's bringing out things in you. There's opportunities for you to give. There's, you know, the satisfaction of that, a place where you belong. You're a part of God's big picture. You're a part of what God's doing in the earth. But see, then, and also you start realizing that church is not about me, is that, hey, service today, church today at Good News Church won't be the same if I'm not there. A part's missing. My mom used to tell me this, or she still tells me this, when, you know, because all my family's up in Minnesota, and she says that we're just not the same when you're not there, because I'm the life of the party. But she said it's just, we just feel like something's missing when you're not there. And so in this year of 2011, this is the first big habit about fellowship. It's about sharing. Let me ask you this question. If you're withdrawing or you're withholding, why are you doing that? And go to the Lord about it and pray about it and get to the bottom of it, because it's vital to you to find out the answer. And find out the answer, and then what's going on, the Lord will show you what to do. But we need to, let me read another scripture. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Now this is hard. Now we got a very diverse body here at Good News Church. And if we don't have these things down, we're not going to make it. We're going to have riots, but it's not going to be good riots. Because we're just so different. I mean, look at all of you. I know you. I mean, we got some different kind of people here. And if we don't have strong vision and a cause, and if we don't know who we are and what we have and what we can do, and if we don't have God's love here, this ain't going to fly. Because we're friends with a cause, and we're willing to lay aside our ego and our pride and what we want, lay it aside for the good of the group. Because it's not about me. It's something bigger than myself. It's about God's plan and what God's doing. But look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Let me read this in the Message translation. And I know we love to meditate on the healing scriptures. I've definitely been meditating on those. We can meditate on the prosperity scriptures and, you know, authority and all these different things. But, you know, when's the last time we meditate on fellowship scriptures? Because it said to study. To study these things. Well, no, I don't want to study about that. I want to study about healing. I want to study about prosperity. I want to study about miracles. And those are all good things to study. And I've studied all of those thoroughly, and we'll continue to study those. But how much time have we spent to studying about love or fellowship or the church and my part in the church? Philippians 2, verse 1 says, and this is Message translation, if you've got anything at all out of following Christ, if his love has made any difference in your life, if being in a community of the Spirit means anything to you, if you have a heart, if you care, then do me a favor. Agree with each other. He just throws that out there like it's so easy to do. Agree with each other. That's hard. Love each other. Be deep, spirited friends. Would you like to have some deep, spirited friends? I believe the only place you can have deep, spirited friends is in church. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. See, it's sharing. And the enemy wants us to hold back. Wants us to hold back. Well, Pastor, how can I grow in the habit of fellowship this year? Well, I'd say the first thing you can do is just start sharing. Sharing of yourself. Share prayers. You can share finances. You can share time. But I tell you, one of the big things, and this is difficult to do, is sharing yourself with someone and really being present. You know what I'm talking about? Present, not just kind of, well, hey, Georgette, how you doing? But I mean, it's like, even if it's just a small encounter, it's just something, it's like we're connected. I mean, these are my brothers and sisters, and we're connected with a vision and a mission, and we're connected on something greater than ourselves. But they know, I mean, I've got your back. I'm for you. I care about you. I love you. I'm praying for you. I'd do anything for you. It's that attitude. Now, I know I'm painting a big picture here, and you know, and sometimes we fall so short. And sometimes we attempt to share and we get rebuffed. But I just want to encourage you, keep at it. Keep at it. Love never fails. For God so loved the world that he gave. Aren't you glad today? Aren't you glad that God didn't give up? Aren't you glad that God didn't get offended or hurt and just say, just forget him? Let them go to hell. But he didn't. He just hung in there and hung in there and hung in there and worked his plan. And then his plan is to send his son Jesus to die on the cross. Just his great love. And see, his... And if you really, you know, and people say all the reasons why we're created, and I'm wrapping it up, y'all. Oh, all the reasons why we're created here, to be here. And some people say it's to worship God for eternity. And I understand what they're saying there. But I really think that this world and people came maybe out of a lonely heart of a loving Father. Maybe God wanted more people created in his class to fellowship with. And maybe he created this whole universe in this earth and all that is in it. And maybe he did all that for us. I mean, just his great love. And we're to represent him. And it's a challenge. And I think it's really... You know, there's a lot of things we could have made the first habit, and a lot of things we could have done. I mean, the other six, of course, and the one about the shower. I mean, those all could have been done today, but I just felt like this was an important one to start with. Because really, if this is done well, it's going to incorporate all the rest of the habits. Well, what can I do? I mean, you can put the vision and the mission of the church, memorize it. Put it in your heart and pray about it. Find out what we're doing here. What's this church about? In the bulletin is our vision. That right there is our mission. That's what we're doing every time we get together, empowering people to give life. Pray about these things. Certainly you can begin to pray for the other people. That's how people get in your heart, is through prayer. Another thing you could do to practice the habit of fellowship, come to services. Just go ahead and make a decision. I'm going to be at every service. Just like Susie, I mean, I'm going to take that shower. It's just a decision. It's already been made. It's that important to me. It's that important to my life. And then when you come, because we're talking about if you came to Sunday morning, Wednesday night, School for Life, We're talking about a little less than 4.5 hours a week. Well, that ain't going to happen. Why don't you come and share and look for opportunities to share? We have a thing called Express. Small group ministry here. We had a meeting of the Express leaders the other day, and it was a tangible presence there of God's love. Of the love that these Express leaders have for the people in their groups. And if people will say, you know, I love coming to Express, but they don't come for so many months, you know, and the same things about coming here is there, you know, fear, will I be rejected? I just don't feel like it. But when you don't feel like it, that's the time you need to go. Make it a habit, and your life will be nourished. It will be rich. And then come and share yourself. Now, don't hog all the time. Share yourself and let others share with you. And there'll be connections that will be formed. Serving is another thing that you can, as far as fellowship. I mean, again, it brings all things together. I mean, you're working with others to get the job done. You've got a greater purpose. You've got vision. There's something our team is trying to accomplish. And then one thing you got to realize about God is He doesn't have big shots. That the rewards for me, Pastor Good News Church, and anybody else, and whatever you may think is the most insignificant job, if they're putting their heart into it and they're sharing themselves, the rewards are the same for them as they are for me. And there's blessings in this earth, and blessings in our lives, but there's also blessings for all of eternity for what we do and the lives we impact. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, pray for the people today. Lord, I pray they may make this a big habit in their lives, the whole aspect of fellowship. And Lord, if there's anything going on as far as withholding or withdrawing, Lord, just show them what's going on. Give them an answer, a solution to that, and that they may be bold to be obedient to what you say. But I pray for this congregation, Lord, we've got to have more people in fellowship here. We've got to have more people that are friends with a cause. And Lord, so I'm asking you for that to happen in a supernatural way. One accord, one heart, one purpose. Division and strife leave in the name of Jesus. And we declare harmony and unity like never before to do something great for the kingdom of God. Thank you for these things right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. You can look at me for just a second. I want to give anybody here today that hasn't made Jesus the Lord of their lives an opportunity to do that. I mean, Jesus makes our world go round. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. And we need Him in our lives. And I can't let you go without giving you an opportunity to say, hey, yeah, I want Him in my life. Let me ask you this question. If you were to die today or 100 years from now, do you know where you spend eternity? Do you know if you go to heaven? Did you know that you can know? The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and confess Him as your Lord, you will be saved. That means benefits when you die, benefits here on the earth. It's a whole salvation package. And part of the salvation package is heaven is my home when I die. And you can know. Well, and we ask people that wherever we go, we ask that question. And they say, I think so. I've been a good person. I've done more good than I have bad. I attend church. I pray. I do a lot of nice things for people. But that's not how you're born again. There's nothing you can do to earn this salvation. It's believing and confessing. It's receiving the free gift.